Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Now it's time for Dr. Jeffrey Copen. Our conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. The good doctor is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. That's all about mental health, Dr. Copen. That's what I provide here is mental health relief. What do you think of that?
Yeah, and I have to say, John, you're superb at providing mental health. I don't think there's any question about it. I want you to know that after last Tuesday's visit, I promptly went for very first patient that I saw. I told him that he was asymptomatic.
For monkeypox,
and I gave
yes.
proper attribution to John Williams on WGN Radio.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. It's the least we can do. I don't have a medical degree, but I am able to dispense a little distraction to the world out there, Doc.
You do that very well, Mr. Williams, and thank you for doing that.
All right, let's talk a little bit about then the business that you're in. Here's a text from one of our listeners. Why is the second booster not more widely available yet? I'm under 50, but I don't meet the requirements. Is that true? What's the range on that, Doc?
Yeah, so the recommendation that came from FDA and then CDC is for people over the age of 50. And that has to do with the concern that people who are over the age of 50, their immune system is not as robust as people under the age of 50. So somebody who's healthy and under the age of 50 should feel pretty good that they have a nice, healthy, robust immune system, as opposed to, say, somebody who's 70, who still hopefully has a nice, healthy, robust immune system. But that second booster can be very helpful in helping to keep the immune system primed against COVID.
You know, we were talking before the break about international travel and how if you come back into the United States 24 hours before you arrive, you still have to pass a COVID test. And I am going to be doing some international travel next month, and some of my colleagues are right now. And I'm thinking, do we really need to be doing that still? Why do we got to make it so hard for Americans to get back into America?
Yeah, chances are, Jim, wherever it is you're going, you probably will not need a COVID test to get in. Is that true for
yes.
where you're going?
Yeah.
More and more countries are taking away that entry test. You know, some countries, as recently as last month, you had to have a negative test to leave to go to the country, and then you have to get another test
sure.
on arrival. And most of those countries have now removed that. I believe there are discussions right now going on in Washington about this, about lifting this requirement. But to my knowledge, they're not ready to make an announcement about it. But it sure seems with the amount of Omicron that we have, the amount of COVID that we have in the country, at this point, does it still make sense to have this requirement? It's a more complicated question. I mean, do we want to get on an international air flight with somebody who might have active COVID, particularly since masks are not necessarily required anymore on an airplane, depending which airline you're flying and to where. So you know, there are other aspects to this question that really need to be talked through in some detail. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see a change in federal instructions regarding the entry COVID test.
It's kind of weird because we're Americans. We live in America. We pay taxes in America. They say, oh, but you've got COVID. So then you got to stay in Ireland and infect people in Ireland. Thank you very little. And the point to me is that if I come back to the United States with Omicron, chances are neither I nor the people I'm near will be sick with Omicron, will be hospitalized with Omicron. I thought that was the most important measure these days.
Yes, that's what CDC continues to say. I think, John, what we know after 2.5 years of the pandemic, don't look for consistency in the rules. You'll make yourself crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we have to remember this, we're living through this, right? I mean, this is still all new. I really feel for the people that have to make make decisions on public policy because things move so much. You know, I was thinking earlier today, remember last year on Memorial Day, we thought we were done. The number of cases were dropping very, very low. President Biden was talking about freedom summer. We really felt like we were done. And then what happened is the summer continued. We were suddenly confronted with Delta. And with Delta, we know what happened. We had another big surge, lots of hospitalizations, additional deaths, caught everybody by surprise. So trying to prophesize, which really is what it would be, what's going to happen as we continue to go through the summer into the fall, nobody knows. And if anybody says they do know, I can assure you they do not. So when this virus is not done with us, I keep saying that it's not done with us, but I certainly hope that this is about as bad as it's going to be. But I can't say that with 100% certainty.
Well, I think shame on us if we hold you all to that. I mean, you're right. It's a real-time venture for all of us. The doctors and scientists are doing the best they can. And by the way, they're doing fantastic. And if for some reason we all learn something in real time that's different than what we thought we knew, well, that's the way the world works. Let's not blame the messengers or the doctors that are figuring it out. But listen to this, doctor. 815 says, I received both shots and a booster last year, and in August, I suddenly lost all hearing in my left ear for no known reason. The Wall Street Journal had a story that hearing loss was a rare but possible side effect. Talk to us when we come back from the break, Dr. Jeffrey Copeland, about side effects and what are we learning about that? Doctor, is hearing loss a potential side effect for COVID?
Okay, so there's two parts to the question. One is, can COVID itself, a COVID infection, cause hearing loss? And the second, which we'll talk about, what's the possibility that the vaccine against COVID could cause hearing loss? Okay. So there are what we call case reports, John. So very rare instances of hearing loss in people who've been infected with COVID, both acutely is one of the first symptoms of a new infection, and then other people have reported hearing loss later on after their infection. So here's the question. Is it caused by the COVID infection, or is acute hearing loss common enough, and it is pretty common, is it common enough that these people would have had the hearing loss anyway? So we don't know the answer to this, but I would say in any event, if somebody were to acutely lose their hearing, make sure you go see your doctor so we can get this checked out. Now, regarding the vaccine, again, there are case reports of people who reported acute hearing loss following getting either the first COVID vaccine or the second. There are very, very few of these reports around the world. So again, we don't know if there is causation or if this is just correlation. Again, something that is being looked at. It's clearly not a big problem, but it's certainly possible that we'll find with additional time and more experience in a few rare people, there is some connection, but we don't know that right.
But it may be a coincidence too.
That's right. That's right. Because hearing loss, we all know it happens, right? We all know people who've lost their hearing. So it might have nothing to do with COVID or the COVID vaccine.
Just one last question here, and then I'm going to try and get to a listener or two. This is from another listener. A text says, my at-home test is still positive on day 14. I don't have any symptoms, and I'm vaccinated and boosted. So do I need to continue to quarantine and or wear a mask, or can I go out?
Great, great question. This is coming up all the time. Now that we have the home tests, they're plentiful. People can have them. We're hearing this story more and more. Somebody gets acutely infected. They have their symptoms. They test positive. couple days later, the symptoms are gone. They're still positive. And the antigen test continues to test positive day 7, day 9, day 10, in this listener's case, day 12. So what that test is picking up is the presence of the viral proteins that the test is designed to pick up, which means that those viral proteins are still present. That does not mean, though, that this person is still infectious. And that's really the most important point. So I think when people who continue to test positive past day 10, as long as they're totally asymptomatic, it's okay to get back to what it is that you usually do. I think it would be best if you continue to wear a mask when you go out, just because that test is still positive. Now, John, the interesting question is, why are there people where this continues to be positive? And we don't know the answer to that. Does it have something to do with the amount of virus that they had when they first got infected? Is it some peculiarity of their immune system that allows that there still be virus that hasn't been cleared that can be picked up by the antigen test at home? And I could go on and on. There's other possibilities there. So we really don't know. But the key thing is, if you're asymptomatic, you're feeling fine, you've made it out past day 10, I think you can reengage with society. But the best thing would be for other people if you wear a mask when you go out.
Well put. Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer. Keep telling my jokes, doctor.
I will. I did. Keep them coming, John. I like the John Travolta. That was a good one before.
From Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. We'll talk again next Tuesday, sir.
All right. Be well. Bye-bye.